Money FM 89.3, best of the evening runway. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
That's right, you're listening to Money FM 89.3. Time now for Market View, where we take a look at how the Singapore stock market is likely to close for the day, the biggest movers, sectors and companies to watch. But as always, a quick recap of how we started. Well, Singapore shares advanced at the opening bell this morning, tracking overnight gains on global markets. In early trade, the Straits Times Index was up 0.2% at 3,180 points after some 84 million securities changed hands in the broader market. Now, closing numbers are still firming up, but here's what I have on my screen right now. The STI or Straits Times Index up about 0.21%, we are looking at 3,180 points. In terms of value turnover, that's 874 million Sing dollars. Gainers outnumbered losers 265 versus 238. Top five movers by value, we've got here DBS, Seatrium, Singtel, UOB and OCBC. Heavily traded securities included Seatrium, Marco Polo Marine and Singtel. Now, in terms of companies to watch for today, we do have CapitaLand Investment. The asset manager has raised 1 billion yuan, or around 187 million Sing dollars, from its inaugural sustainability-linked Panda bond, which comes with a three-year tenor and a fixed coupon rate of 3.5% per annum. Now, elsewhere, from how markets are reacting ahead of the US Fed's latest interest rate decision and the odds of the Fed still expecting three rate cuts this year, we've got more international headlines. Lines in focus, and also on deck, Chinese banks maintaining their benchmark lending rates after the central bank's recent decision to stamp pat on monetary policy. Now, joining me on the line is Carl Ashton, investment counselor at City Private Bank. So, Carl, welcome.
Thanks very much, Tian. Lovely to be on the show.
Great to have you on board. And Carl, let's start with the Singapore stock market as usual. How has the STI Fed so far today ahead of the Fed's latest interest rate decision, and I suppose some nervousness in Asian markets too?
Yeah, so as you mentioned before, or, you know, the Straits Times Index has posted modest gains today, and that's pretty much in line with moves that we've seen elsewhere in the region and also tracking the moves that we saw overnight from America and Europe. I think it's fair to say that most markets have been in a wait-and-watch mode today and actually for most of this week ahead of the FOMC meeting this evening. And more broadly, it has been a very, very busy week for central bank meetings because we had the Bank of Japan yesterday along with the Reserve Bank of Australia, and we've got the FOMC tonight and then the Bank of England with their policy decision tomorrow.
So let's zoom in on some of the companies to watch. Carl, we've got here CapitaLand Investment, the asset manager raising this 1 billion yuan from its inaugural sustainability-linked Panda bond. We also saw Frasers Logistics and Commercial Trust offering fixed-rate notes as well. Any reason why these firms are raising funds now? Does it have to do with the capital market environment, or are the developments really more company-specific and rationale really more towards the internal priorities?
Yeah, so it's a bit of both there, Tian. And I thought it was really interesting that Panda bond that's been issued by CapitaLand, particularly around the ESG or the sustainability element linked to that, where it's based on their lowering the energy consumption at some of their Chinese properties by 6%. And elsewhere with Frasers Logistics and Commercial, That raising was to help fund some of their proposed acquisitions that they announced recently in Germany. I think more from a fixed income point of view, there does seem to be heightened appetite for that asset class at the moment, especially as investors think about the potential for cash rates to come down over the next 12 to 18 months. And so whilst these bond issuers are company specific, they do seem to be taking advantage of investor appetite for yield. I think, interestingly, though, that 3 to 5 year duration or that tenor that they're looking at is pretty interesting. That's the duration where City Private Bank thinks is the sweet spot for fixed income investors at the moment in terms of duration. It's kind of the belly of the curve, as we call it. That's where investors have been placing a lot of their focus at the moment. And I think that's where corporates are sort of targeting their issues at the moment as well.
Now, across the region, Carl, Chinese banks maintained their benchmark lending rates following the PBOC's recent decision to stamp pat on monetary policy. Now, the one-year loan prime rate was held at 3.45% in line with forecast. The five-year rate, which is a reference for mortgages, was also kept at 3.95% in line with expectations. Now, really, what is next then, Carl, for the People's Bank of China when it comes to interest rates, with the country seeing that jump in industrial output just a number of days ago?
Yeah, we think the PBOC is on hold for the foreseeable future. There's an indication that they are probably more focused at the moment on exchange rate stability. And I think that's been evidenced by the CNY hovering around the 720 level for most of this year. Rates look like they're at a level where that 5% GDP target looks achievable for the foreseeable future. So we don't think that the PBOC will be altering policy rates anytime soon. Mm-hmm. Having said that, the PBOC won't operate in a vacuum, and they'll be keenly watching developments at the Fed Reserve. And there's a chance that if the FOMC start to ease rates later this year, there is a chance that the PBOC could actually follow suit.
Don't mind me asking this, Carl. How far do you think that recent data, particularly the data on industrial output, can be relied upon? Or do we need to wait until companies report their corporate results and we see some private sector surveys before we determine that it's actually the state of the economy, the Chinese economy?
Yeah, I think both of those would need to be taken in conjunction. I think if you're looking at the economic data in China, that's an important barometer, but I think also hearing from corporates probably gives you a little bit more of a nuanced view in terms of what sectors are actually performing. When we look at other economies, the US, Australia, Singapore, we tend to take a holistic approach in terms of formulating our views for interest rate settings. So we will look at what the corporates are telling us and hearing it from the horse's mouth, as it were, but also focusing on the official data that comes through from the government. So I think both of them need to be paid attention to. The PPI data that was released was strong in China, but I think that's just one data point that investors need to focus on. We'll certainly be paying attention to some of the corporate announcements that come out over the next few weeks.
I see. Now, if you're just tuning in, we're now in conversation with Carl Ashton, investment counsellor at City Private Bank. Now, in corporate news, Carl, Prudential today reported a 43% increase in new business profit to $3.1 billion for the financial year ended December. And that is compared to the $2.2 billion seen a year ago. Now, Prudential said the showing was led by the Hong Kong market and in particular the reopening of borders between Hong Kong and Chinese mainland. Now, I believe AIA reported their results sometime back and Hong Kong was also pointed out as a key driver of new businesses. So broadly speaking, Carl, do you think this is more of a post-pandemic correction for the insurance industry?
Yeah, I mean, if you listen to the announcement from the corporates, they were very, very specific in terms of what was driving that growth. Mm-hmm. And they said that premiums from sales to mainland Chinese investors were up approximately 10% on 2019 mm-hmm. levels. I think it's interesting to note we are seeing similar trends developing within the region. Closer to home, for example, mainland China arrivals into Singapore topped 320,000 for the month of February and are expected to be even higher than that in March. And that's bringing us back to around 96% of pre-pandemic levels. Mm. So I think part of that increase in tourism to Singapore in particular was because of the easing of visa restrictions, and that's specific to Singapore. But I think more broadly from a regional perspective, we are starting to see a normalization of business conditions post-COVID, and that's being reflected in the results that we saw today for Prudential and also the comments that were made by AIA a couple of weeks ago. And I think we will continue to see those companies that are reliant on cross-border tourism and flows, they will start to see the benefits of that normalisation post-COVID.
Hmm. Now, further away, Carl, I really want to focus on this particular piece of news. Samsung Electronics co-CEO Kyung Kai Hyun expects $100 million or more of revenue from its next batch of advanced chip packaging products this year. Aside from that, I believe Samsung Electronics gained the most in over 6 months on a news report that NVIDIA is looking to buy Samsung Electric's high bandwidth memory chip. Could you break that down for us and what the development means for Samsung?
Yeah, it was a decent day for Samsung. I believe their shares were up around 5.5%. And part of that, as you said, was about the potential for them to supply those high bandwidth memory chips to NVIDIA and potentially close the gap to other Korean chip makers. Now, they will need to invest for that growth, but I think it's another sign that we're seeing about the overall health of the AI ecosystem. I think that's really important in terms of, you know, what these companies are doing in order to drive further growth and further profitability.
And more broadly speaking, Carl, if I may follow up, if we look at the chip sector, how far do players compete and collaborate, as in the case of Samsung Electronics and NVIDIA?
Yeah, it's both, to be honest. The sector is open to both collaboration and competition. And I think what we've seen within the semiconductor space is that there are certain companies that dominate a specific area of manufacture or design, and those products will be used by many downstream fabricators, and that's the collaboration element to it. Having said that, the end users in the AI supply chain, so those that are developing the large language models and trying to, I guess, popularize AI, they will have need for different kinds of semiconductors depending on the types of calculations that they're doing. And that's where specific chip design comes into it. And that's the competitive element to it at the moment. Now, obviously, NVIDIA is a big player in that space, but there is room there for other chip manufacturers to come in and provide more bespoke levels of chip design for those downstream users. So to your point, there is collaboration and competition within the sector.
I see. And well, Carl, we started this conversation by talking about the Fed, and let's end off talking about the Federal Reserve's latest policy meeting as well. I believe at this point, investors are not so curious about interest rates. We expect them to stand pat on interest rates this time round. But markets are more curious as to whether the central bank would indicate 3 rate cuts this year as earlier penciled in, and their new dot plot. Your thoughts on the matter, and also could the first cut come in June, or will that timeline be pushed back as well?
Yeah, so I think that's obviously the main data point this week that all the investors are focusing on, not necessarily where rates are, but where they're going. I think where we've seen the evolution of the dot plot this year, the resilience of some of the US data that we've seen early on in 2024 has meant that the potential for rate cuts has come down. So if we were looking at projections for Fed policy in the fourth quarter of last year, most people were thinking there would be 4 to 5 rate cuts this year. Now, because of the strength in inflation and employment that we've seen in the US, the projection for Fed cuts has been moderated now to around 3 to 4. And in terms of the timing, it's been pushed out a little bit. Our projections at City Private Bank are for 3 rate cuts this year, with the first of those to come in June. Having said that, all of the central banks globally have maintained that they are data dependent. And so we will need to pay very, very close attention to elements of the inflation information that's coming through that might be a little bit stickier than appreciated. And we'll also need to keep a very close eye on the employment situation as well. And employment has been softening in the US recently. The latest report this month showed the unemployment rate going from 3.7% to 3.9%. But I think it's also interesting to note that some of the forward-looking indicators of employment around the ISM services and manufacturing indices and the subcomponents of employment there were particularly weak in February. So that employment outlook is softening a little bit, even though inflation remains a bit sticky. But again, that's going to come into the Fed's calculus in terms of where they think rates should be and how quickly they get there. As I said, our view is 3 rate cuts with the first coming in June.
I suppose there'll be lots to watch. I believe the initial jobless claim numbers also coming in later in the week. Thanks a lot, Carl. That was Carl Ashton, investment counsellor at City Private Bank. Thank you very much for joining us on Money FM 89.3.
Thanks for having me, Tian.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance.